Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along on a Tuesday morning. All right, let's get things rolling along with the good of the day.
The good of the day? Probably something that you didn't know you needed in your life, but you know now once I say it, you will want to, you'll need it.
Okay, great.
Okay.
I like these.
The next 30 for 30 has been announced.
Oh, please tell me it's going to be good.
From Universal Studios Hollywood. This is American Gladiators.
That's right. They're going to do a 30 for 30 on the original reality competition program.
Oh, okay. This will be fun.
I think it will be. Come on. You remember Malibu and...
No, I do not. Unfortunately, I didn't really watch this show.
Oh, man, Tony.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you missed out.
Well, maybe I did. But this I'll be interested in seeing a 30 for 30 for it.
The characters were fantastic, and these guys were larger than life during that time. That's all I really remember about it.
What time was it? When
1989 to early to mid-90s.
All right. I don't know why I didn't watch it, but I did not.
Yeah. It was fantastic.
That's awesome. Well, that's good for them. Yeah. All right. That's a great 30 for 30. I like that.
It's going to be fun. And you
well,
know,
see, a guy like me can watch it and learn a lot about it.
Yeah.
And then wish I watched it when I was a young man.
But you remember the premise of the show? Or,
yeah, of course. I do. You know, I do know that.
They had all these events that they had to do, and then at the end was the obstacle course, the obstacle challenge.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one.
I've seen plenty of highlights.
Yeah. But the characters were what made it. I mean, you know, you had Malibu, who... You know, just a gigantic beast of a man who had long flowing locks and looked like the surfer guy and portrayed the... Basically, all the characters were like wrestlers.
They all played into this character.
Similar
to wrestling.
But they, you know...
Was there a heel? Were there villains?
Well, all the American gladiators, the gladiators themselves were villains because they went up against regular old people. They went up against you and I.
That was the premise.
Yeah. You and I were trying to... win competitions with the gladiators standing in our way.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So it was, I mean, it was a lot of fun as a kid watching this. I'm like, man, this, I could do that event or I could do
this event. Who did they say who's going to be directing that?
No, they don't have the director, but they did say that they're going to be bringing back a lot of the old, a lot of the familiar faces that you grew up watching, as well as Johnny Ferrero, who I think was the host of the gladiators.
I don't want to say that. Listen, I'm not trying to insult anybody at the ESPN brass, but why did Bill Simmons come up with this concept? Shouldn't that have? I mean, this feels like somebody should have come up with this way earlier than Bill Simmons's idea.
See, you and I have both described it this way, that basically 30 for 30s is the sports version of Behind the Music.
Right. And when Behind the Music was getting popular, why wouldn't somebody in the powers that be at ESPN back then go, you know what?
Yeah, somebody
really
should have came out together. Immediately.
But didn't they have Sports Century? Was that their version of this? This is much different than that.
These are produced documentaries, short and produced documentaries that fit within like what 30 to 60 minute schedule.
Yeah, exactly.
Depending.
Because I feel like 30 for 30 is one of those ideas that once you opened it up just a little bit, people just poured in and went, "Oh my God, I'm doing a movie about the USFL, or I'm doing a movie about the Duke lacrosse case." Like there was so many stories in sports that needed more thought. And needed more explanation than, you know, they told a complete story. Like, you might be somebody who, back when the Duke lacrosse case was roaring through the media, right? That was like, those guys should go to jail for the rest of their lives. And then you see that documentary and you're like, oh, they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, you needed, like America needed a documentary that went, the media is not telling you the whole story. Calm down. Here's this. Or you may remember something as being like this, like the USFL, but here's a documentary that explains it. It was a little bit better than you remember, or it had more success than you originally thought. Like, maybe you thought the USFL was a failed football experiment and America turned its nose on it. You'd be wrong, because here's here's the documentary that sort of really explores that story. I feel like it should have been something ESPN should have been doing this whole time instead of 2009. I mean, when Bill Simmons
literally,
came over.
Like we said, I mean, literally when Behind the Music came out, I am shocked too that somebody said, you know what would work? I mean, we did a sports thing, if you just highlighted a certain athlete.
I mean, I watched every Behind the Music that was on, even if it was about a group I didn't like.
Right.
Like, I would watch it. I was like...
Or if you stumbled across it, you couldn't turn away.
Right.
That's what mostly happened. I didn't set my schedule around it. I'm just flipping through the channels like, oh, sure, yeah, I want to hear what happened to Tony Bassel.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly. You know, hey, did Mama Cass really choke on a ham sandwich? Let me find out with the mamas and the papas.
You know, it's like you tune in for 5 minutes, and next thing you know, an hour's gone by, and you're like, well, you know what? I think I'm better off for it.
Eating this up. Right, exactly. So, and here's the cool thing about 30 for 30s. There are so many of them. Not every one of them is going to appeal to you, but something will. Like, you may see something and you go, I'm not interested in that topic. That's fine.
No, in fact, it's totally fine. The one that I want them to redo, because I felt like it was almost a throwaway 30 for 30 for him, because most 30 for 30s are what, 60 minutes?
Yeah.
And this one was only 30, and it came out during the World Cup, and that was the two Andres. Or the two Escobars.
Oh, the two Escobars. That was only 30 minutes?
That's only, I think it's only 30 minutes.
I thought it was like 2 hours.
No, I don't think it was that long.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look that up because I thought that was a very long
I thought it was a short version.
It was all in Spanish. Yeah, that one? We're talking about the same one?
I think so.
Maybe so. Maybe there might have been two. The one, they just had Oscar Pistorius. The problem is they broke that down into 5 episodes.
Yeah, you don't need to do that.
I was like, I can't watch. I'm not watching 5 episodes of this. I'm like, I just want to know what happened. Like, I kind of want to know what happened in his trial and what circumstances and more details on the circumstances. Right,
the two Escobars, it's an hour and 44 minutes. Which, there's one that I'm thinking of, because they did a lot of short.
Yeah, there were a lot of short ones, yeah.
And there was one I remember watching that was soccer-related. I was like, I think you could have expanded on it.
Well, I think the reason I remember the two Escobars being long was because they did a whole thing on narco soccer before they even touched the World Cup.
Yeah.
So before you got to the World Cup, there was this whole explanation on how Colombia was the drug lords, and they were running the whole thing, and there was corruption, and all. And this is then they got into soccer, and then when they got into soccer, this is what happened, and they were buying players, and then they won the World Cup, and all of that. All right, so good. The good 30 for 30. That's good. That'll be fun. Especially for someone like me. I didn't watch the show, but I am interested in it, and I probably will watch it.
Yeah.
All right, what's the bad?
I think it'll be a lot of fun for you.
All right, the bad of the day.
The bad of the day is I got to highlight this guy, this Australian comedian named Lewis Spears.
Lewis Spears.
Yeah, he's a very unknown comedian, but you can watch some of his sets on YouTube. Funny guy. Anyways, he was delivering a set this past weekend, I think, want to say Friday. Which would have been, or he did it on our Thursday, his Friday, I think. I don't know.
You're going to confuse people because Australia's 6 weeks into the future.
You know how that works.
Right.
Anyways, he's in the middle of a set and he's ripping on the royal family, the British royal family, right? And then he goes into a part where he starts ripping on Prince Philip.
Oh, I can only imagine what happened here.
And then the audience started screaming at him, "He died!"
And he didn't know.
He had no idea.
Oh, God,
he actually was an audience member, handed him his phone, and he's like, oh, look at that. But in true comedian fashion, because this isn't, the bad part is just, hey, I wonder how many times, if that's ever happened to a comedian. But in true comedic fashion, he finished his set and was just like, wow, he's probably been dead for 3,000 years. They just finally made the announcement.
Oh, God.
So he still went on a Prince Philip dead comedy routine that, actually, I mean, it was kind of funny. The royal family wouldn't be laughing, but
this is a very, very big deal, the death of Prince Philip.
It is.
I mean, I know we don't hang on to the royalty thing in terms of a monarchy, but apparently I just got a notification Formula One is pausing qualifying on Saturday. They don't want any running of qualifying when Prince Philip's funeral is going on. They're racing in Italy, but the company that airs it in Great Britain, they're not. Formula One adjusted their schedule so that it wouldn't be on at the same time as the funeral for Prince Philip. That's great. That's amazing. I mean, granted, don't get me wrong. We canceled NFL games the weekend after Kennedy was assassinated.
Right, but
we do similar things.
Yeah,
right?
But Kennedy is assassinated. I mean, that was the death of a leader.
Right.
Is Prince Philip a leader?
I can't speak for the people of Great Britain on how they view the monarchy. It's not really a leadership thing, but it's like a, I don't know.
It's like an honorary presence, thing, right?
There's a presence in their life. The monarchy has a certain presence in their life. I mean, they still get all the Your Highness, Your Majesty, you still get all that stuff, even though there's really no context to it, right? There's no, they don't have life or death.
And I really need
rule over your life like it was in the old days.
The other thing I really need to explain to me, because I feel like when Prince Charles came out and was speaking of his father, I still feel like that's his stepfather because he's just a prince. Why is he not king?
That's still a problem. I asked this on Twitter and nobody got back to me, so I'm kind of upset.
Yeah.
Why isn't he king?
Why isn't he king?
If he's married to the queen. If he's married, this is an American guy who doesn't get it, okay? Like, a king and a queen are married. They're king and queen.
And there's no shame in the fact that we don't understand it because we don't have it ourselves. But
right. I'm very glad we don't understand it. I want a monarchy.
I watch movies. You know, if a poor schlub of a man, picture like a Jimmy Fallon type of guy, because I don't know why his face just popped in my mind. You know, there's like just an everyday kind of guy. Marries a princess, wouldn't he eventually be king?
I would think so.
But Prince Philip never was, and it just throws me off because, you know, Prince Charles comes out. I feel like he's talking about his stepfather because his real father died a long time ago. But we can't say this about the royal funeral that is happening, that Harry will be in attendance.
Oh, good. He should.
No word on Meghan Markle.
That's his grandpa. All right, let's get to the dumb of the day.
All right, you're going to need help. You're going to need to help me out with this one, okay?
All right.
There's a movie coming out called Home Team.
Yeah, I saw this.
Which is based on Sean Payton's life.
Yeah.
Not really his life. The year he had away from football where he decided to coach his son's team.
That's right. He was suspended for Bounty Gate.
Where the dumb comes in, and I understand how we got to this point, because the production company is Happy Madison.
Sure.
Adam Sandler's company. But Kevin James is the one who will be portraying Sean Payton.
You just answered your own question, because it's Happy Madison production.
Right.
And Adam Sandler stars all of his buddies in all of his movies.
I know, but I mean, I think this one you need to branch out. I don't see it.
He looked at Kevin James. He was like, "You want to play Sean Payton in a movie? Yeah, we'll do a movie with Sean Payton and you star in it." That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Kevin James is like, "I don't know. Do I want to do that? No, I don't think so."
Now, does he have to go on
you're going to do it, buddy.
Does he have to go on a crazy diet?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, because
Kevin James his weight's gone up and down. There was a moment years ago on King of Queens where his character had lost a lot of weight, and people were like, "No, eat. I like it when you're fat."
Yeah.
"We like your character fat, married to the hot wife. We don't need you good looking, married to that's not working." So he put the weight back on.
But I know he goes back and forth, but I don't know. I mean, Kevin James as an actor, he's good. I'll give him that.
Okay, what about Philip Seymour Hoffman as Art Howe? Remember that in Moneyball?
Yes.
And I was like, whatever. But this is like a starring role. Like Brad Pitt playing Billy Bean, that was passable. But this is the starring role. He's the whole point of the story. Yeah. And how would you like, I mean, look, Kevin James is a cool dude, but if you're Sean Payton, you're like, you're going to... Kevin James? Billy Bean must have been ecstatic Pitt was playing him in a movie.
I don't know. Who was the coach of We Are Marshall? Or Marshall University when they got back?
Yeah.
How excited was he when he found, Matthew McConaughey?
Matthew
really?
Matthew McConaughey is playing me? Chuck Lingle?
Yeah.
Must have been awesome. I am so glad I don't have a life worthy of a movie, because I'd be nervous as hell as who got to play me.
Yeah.
I'd be petrified. I'd be like, "Oh, okay, I get it." You know, but yeah, if you can get Brad Pitt or Matthew McConaughey to play you in a movie, you've done something right. Kevin James is just not on that level. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's just not. I like Kevin James a lot. Don't get me wrong.
No, I enjoy his movies. Yeah. I mean, you know, some of his movies just tank right away.
King of Queens is still funny.
Don't. Yeah. Well, some of the movies tank right away, but I did enjoy Paul Blart.
Paul Blart, sure. Exactly.
It was fun.
All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. We'll talk Instant Replay coming up next. Amy Dash will join us, get some legal perspective on Deshaun Watson as we continue with Wake Up Call.